The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a short but powerful passage. I think in order to unlock how powerful it is, we want to situate it in its proper context. We know that as St. John has been letting us in on the secret, Jesus is the Messiah. What does it mean that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, we have to take God's whole story in one shot in order to see, not only what it means that Jesus is the Messiah, but what difference it makes. Okay, so here we see God is good. God is, as the catechism itself has it, is perfect in himself. God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man so that he could share with him his own blessed life. It's the first, you all know it because it's the first paragraph of the catechism, right? It's, yeah, we've at least read that much, right? No, Father, that's your job. No, it's not my job. It's all of our job. We've all got to understand what God is doing. Otherwise, we can't get our bearing in the world and in our lives. But God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man so that he could share with him his own blessed life. God, infinitely perfect. Right? He needs nothing, creates out of love. His own goodness overflows in creation and fills creation. His creation is why we see in the creation narratives that God is declaring creation good. It is good. So why do we see, why are things the way that they are? It's because we, man, rebelled against God. And by focusing our hearts and lives on something other than the true and living God, so choosing for ourselves some other center, not the true and living God, that's what? An act of idolatry. We unleashed injustice in the world. So what we see is we live under the old order, even though it has been conquered in the death and resurrection of Jesus, it continues to this day. The old order, the marring forces, the defacing forces of sin and death that are a result of our idolatry, putting something other than God at the center of our lives, and the injustice that flows from idolatry. What does it mean that injustice flows from idolatry? Well, if we were to make anything other than the true and living God the center of our hearts and lives, then that thing determines how everything else goes in our life. That thing determines how it is we view other people, how it is we view relationships, how it is we view our life's success. And so we think about money. If we're going to make money the very center of our hearts and lives, then every relationship we have becomes a transaction. Right? What benefits me and what will cost me? In those strict terms. And we can do that. We can apply that with any particular idolatry. But we see that it's that shift of our main focus, right? The being off-centered, it has real ramifications. So what happens? Okay, we have God creating everything good. We have man in an act of idolatry, unleashing the forces of sin and death on God's good world. And then God, what does he do about it? He calls Israel. Yeah, again, it's a strange, I could repeat this every week, and you know I can because I've been doing it for a bit, but I could repeat it every week. We need to hear it almost every week. Is that this? God has a plan that we don't always understand. We don't grasp it readily, right? What would we think would be the way to overcome the idolatry and injustice of man? We might think any number of things. One, we'll just wipe him out and start again. And we see some echoes of that in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. And then we could also think, well, God, just come down and wave the magic wand and make it so that, our hearts and lives are properly focused again. That's not what God does. What God does is he calls a people to himself. And what kind of people does he call to himself? This is Israel. He calls a small people to himself, a nomadic people to himself. They have no strength. They've got no army. They've got nothing to plead their cause before God. So his act of making them the answer to idolatry and injustice has got nothing to do with them. They don't have the resume. They don't have the CV to warrant the position they've been put in. It's simply an act of mercy. It's simply an act of generosity on God's part. And the people then have to receive that act of mercy and generosity. They have to know that they did nothing to deserve the exalted place that God wants to have them, and then live that mercy in and among themselves and for the entire world. Right? Precisely because it's a free gift, they're to live their lives in that giftedness and make of their entire life, their entire national life, gift, pure self-gift, as the image of God that he intends them to be. But the people lost their way. They were we hear in the scriptures in the New Testament, they're like a sheep without a shepherd. And this is a way of talking about Israel without a king. Jesus is that king. Jesus is the one to come into Israel and give that movement, the response again to the idolatry and injustice that we unleash on the world. Jesus is to give that movement definitive character, shape, and power. We are called by Jesus. We're gathered by Jesus to be the new Israel movement. And this is where we pick up a big part of what we see here. This is the beginning of Jesus' farewell discourse. He's telling his disciples that he has to go away. Now he has to go away. What does it mean? He has to go through his death and resurrection, his ascension, which will lead to the sending of the Spirit. And in fact, we clip half a verse here in the gospel where Jesus says he's going to send the Spirit. We try to save that for Pentecost. But if we were to kind of excise the Spirit at any time in our Christian life, we'd have nothing. So we have to keep that in view as well. But here, what's happening? Jesus, immediately before this, so that's the great context of the story. Yeah, we're grasping that. That was a great context of the story. But there's context also, context clues here in the Gospel of John as well. What has happened immediately prior to this command, love one another? Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Yeah, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Well, surely, and he said, he washed the disciples' feet, and then he said, I've given you a pattern. Just as I have done, you also must do. And you would think, well, okay, that's enough. Why do we have to double down and say, love one another? Why does he have to make this so clear? Why does he have to make this challenging thing so clear? Well, probably because it is so challenging. He has to make it clear. There's no letting us off the hook. We have to love one another. That's the command. And all the words that I spill today don't erase that. Okay? Just so you know, we've got to end up in that spot as well. Love one another. But here, what is Jesus doing? He's saying it's not simply enough even to wash feet. You know, as Christians, I don't know, we need to shake up our images sometimes. We have to kind of form and reform our imagination. What does it mean to be a Christian? If one of the first images that ought to come to our mind, like to live as Christians, is that we are called to be an army of foot washers. We have to keep this in our mind. And what is being a foot washer? Yeah, we have to take up the lowly task. We have to take up the task of the slave. We have to take up the thankless task. But you see, it's not enough, right, to just say that. It's not enough for me to say to you, go out and do works of service. Do the things that nobody wants to do. We'll reinvigorate the world that way. It's not exactly right. Why? Because if you're anything like me, you would be doing those things and thinking, man, you know, I'm really a good person. You know, I'm pretty, Look at all those horrible things that I did, that no one else would ever do. Right? Look at how I did this and that and the other thing. How good I must be, right? It's like that task, even taking the lowly task, can inflame our pride. Unless we're doing it for the right cause, and here unless we're doing it in the power of the Spirit, unless we're doing it for love alone. Love is, in this sense then, the driving force of the new Israel. So we as a people, yes, we're called to restore the world. We're called to restore the world in and by the power of the Holy Spirit, in and by God's own life of love that is poured into us, poured into our hearts, and that works through us to reinvigorate all of our, let's say, it works to reinvigorate ourselves, and it works to reinvigorate all of our relationships, all of our institutions, the entire world, right? The whole church has to be invigorated by love. And this is what Jesus is offering us today. Now, it's worth noting this first little verse of the scriptures that we had that I've heretofore ignored. When Judas had left them, Jesus said. So now we get to like the high point of it all, right? Where Judas is left. What does it mean? It means they're on the clock. It means that Jesus soon is going to be given up. And what does Jesus do when the 11 are gathered around him and Judas has gone to betray him? What does he do? Start strengthening his case against Judas. Why he should have done this and why he should have done that? Does he withdraw further and everyone's hyped up on fear and the rest? No, he commands them to love. He's living in the, and even before that, he's glorifying God. How many times do we see that word glory here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 times he's glorifying the Father. Judas is just left to betray him. Now is the critical moment. Now is the time to lay the foundation stone. And he does. And what is it? It's the command to love. This is nothing at all there's nothing at all that can prevent love from achieving its victory. Because here, this is the opposition. This is the time of opposition coming on Jesus. And he's making his way through then and there. And he's not just giving himself to say, yeah, this is how I am going to make my way through. This also is the way that you will trust and follow me. This is the way that you will make your way through also. All of life's conflicts, all opposition that you could face. Commit yourself to God's cause. Give the Father glory. And pour yourself out in love. Because, we'll hear this in the prayer in just a minute, that Jesus has called us to share in the one supreme Godhead. Remember, God infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man that he might share with him his own blessed life. He created you to pour his love into you. He created you so that you might share his own blessed life. And here, Jesus is outlining what that looks like. It's a life of praise, it's a life of glory, and it's a life of service. Because man restored to his proper position after the fall needs to, again, climb the heights of holiness and justice. But we only get there if, in the power of love, we give God praise and we pour ourselves out in his service. And this, my friends, this, not anything else, this is how all will know that you are my disciples. Are we giving witness to the world? Do people know Jesus? Do they know that we are disciples of Jesus? The only way that the world will come to see that we are disciples of Jesus, the only way that we can be identified as disciples of Jesus, is if we love one another. And so we take up that task anew again today. And God is making it so. Because we can't do it of our own strength. We turn it back to ourselves at every opportunity. It's only with his own life of love working in us and working through us that we can achieve these lofty heights, giving God all glory and praise and pouring ourselves out in his service.